open to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you go there, and we're just going to try to preach something that God has laid on my heart. I was meditating on this throughout for a few weeks on these few verses. And if you know me, my mind's always going multiple different directions. And I'm sometimes working on five or six sermons at one time. I just don't know and feel a certain unction to go a certain different direction. And before I went to the youth retreat or youth camp just for a few nights, I said, well, I'm going to be on top of Sunday's message. So I remember studying and praying. I said, I think maybe this is what I need to preach. Well, God's changed my direction. Amen. That's the way it happens. I don't know. Some guys say they always know what they're supposed to preach all the time. I've never been that way. I'm always wrestling in my spirit with just trying to obey God. Never know who's going to be here. And how many knows every service is important? Amen. We don't have time to have services where we just miss it. I don't believe that. I believe as a preacher, I need to know what's the message for the hour, what's critical. Because I do believe the way that God operates, or say in His divine sovereignty, there's so many things that He does. But there's things that God wants to do in this service that He may not do tonight. Amen. Not saying He can't do it tonight, but God's a God of divine appointments. And sometimes God's appointments are in your disappointments. So you never know. God has all these different things and how it works to His will. And let's just go. If you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in Sunday school, I mean, Brother Neff was all over my verses of Scripture, but that's all right. We'll preach it anyhow. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. We're going to read 1. We're going to read 10 verses of Scripture. And this is what it says. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or not, of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And he says in verse 6, he says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, and that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that He might depart, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, and everybody knows this, then am I strong. Amen. Many of you are very familiar with these verses of Scripture, and I will not get into the context of why he was writing all of this. But what I want to preach today with God's help, it may sound different, and to be honest with you, as I was studying and praying about this, I've had this for a while, but sometimes you have something in your spirit that you cannot put into words. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever felt like you prayed about something and you told somebody else about it and they said, oh, that's nice. You think to yourself, well, I felt differently about that. Amen. I thought, you know, this is really something special. And they say, oh, okay. But this is something I finally feel like God helped me put into words throughout the years of ministry. And today I want to introduce you to a servant. Today what I want to do, I want to make an introduction to someone that all of us are accommodating. All of you here has met him, I promise you. I want to introduce you to a servant, and you don't necessarily like this person. Matter of fact, in most times, you pretty much despise the servant that I'm going to introduce you to. And I'm going to introduce you to a servant named Suffering. A servant named Suffering. And you'll find me in a moment. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You and thank You today for this privilege and opportunity. Lord, to preach the Word of God. Lord, I'm always thrilled to be behind this pulpit. Lord, I'm always thrilled to have a Word from Heaven, God, and to know, God, that You've given me something, Lord. But I need You today to give me clarity of thought, Lord. I do not claim to know it all, Father. I just know what You put in my spirit. I know what the Word says, and I ask You to help me, to anoint me, and to anoint this congregation to hear. In Jesus' name, I do love you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I do want you to understand a few different things about this chapter. What Paul is telling us here in the beginning of this chapter is this. He lets us know, my friend, that he had a glorious experience. He said, if I was in the body, if out of the body, I cannot even tell you. He said, I don't even really know how to put it into words. I cannot really even describe all that happened. But he said, I do know this, that I went up into the third heaven. He said, I had a wonderful, unique experience, my friend. And he said, when I was there, and you'll find this in verses 1 through 6, he said, when I went to the third heaven, he said, I heard things that were unspeakable. Things that he could not utter or find a language to utter it in. My friend, have you ever had an experience in the Lord that when you went to put it in English, you had to substitute it for a word, and you said, this is just have to do right now. And we'll say something like, God's awesome, or God's good, or God, oh, I love Him. We're so limited, my friend, when it comes to our divine experiences to put it into words. My friend, I've been in services before where I tried to talk about it and found that the language, and when I tried to put it into words, I could not even describe what it really was. So we know that He went to the third heaven, and today that's not what I'm going to focus on. What I want to focus on here is another experience that he had. My friend, he had a contrast here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There is a contrast between two experiences. He said, number one, I went into the third heaven. I had a unique, glorious experience. I went up there, and there were things that were unspeakable that I could not even mention. But then he comes back down to earth. Amen. If you ever had a glorious experience, it didn't long till you come back to earth. Everybody know what I'm talking about. Amen. Glad I ain't the only one. My friend, it's amazing. You go to a camp meeting, you said it was wonderful. Then you come back home, and guess what? You say, all right, my heavenly mindedness has started. Yeah, I still love you, Lord, but now I'm back down to earth. Here Paul is. He had a unique heavenly experience, but then all, my friend, for a sudden, my friend, he talks about this other experience that he had about a thorn in the flesh and a messenger sent to buffet him. I want to contrast these two experiences today. Paul went from paradise to pain in this chapter. Paul went from glory to suffering. Paul went where he tasted the blessing of God in heaven, then he felt the buffeting of Satan on earth. He went from ecstasy to agony. And yet these two experiences, my friend, and you must understand this, these two experiences go hand to hand. My friend, I know when we live in this fallen world, I know it would be magnificent and wonderful if every day of your life was a heavenly experience. It would be amazing today if you never had another headache or another pain in your body. It'd be amazing today if we never heard the word cancer again, or the word death, or the word disease, or car wreck, or rape, or incest, all these different things, or abortion, or sin. It would be a wonderful thing if we never heard those words again. But with every heavenly experience, my friend, I have found that there's been an earthly battle that you have to go through. So here it is, Paul, my friend, has gone to heaven, and he learned that heaven could come to him. I want you to follow me this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, not only did Paul go to heaven, but he also is letting us know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that not only did he go to heaven, but heaven can come to you down here on earth in the form of grace, in the form of mercy, in the form of Jesus, in the form of the Holy Ghost. Not only do you have heavenly experiences, but heaven wants you to know that it can reach you right where you are right now. You may not be on the mountaintop. You may not be in the greatest place or position in your life. You may be walking through trials and the fiery temptations. I mean, you may feel like hell is breathing down the back of your neck. You may feel like your mind cannot find peace no matter how much you search. You may feel like your family is in turmoil. You may feel like you can't get the things and grips together. But Paul wants us to understand something here. Not only did he go to heaven and see things there, but he said down here on earth, heaven can visit you right where you are. Isn't that a good thing to know? Hear me today, friend. Follow me here. The Lord knows how to keep a very good balance in our lives. A lot of times we try to balance things and we mess it all up. But God knows how to keep a balance in our life. And that's what He shows us here, right here in this chapter. The Lord knows what He is doing. If we had only blessings in this life, we would become proud. So He permits us to have burdens as well. Not only do you have blessings, but you're going to have burdens as well. Not only is there going to be healing, but there's also going to be sickness as a fact as well. So Paul's experience in heaven could have ruined his ministry if he allowed himself to get prideful. But he said, wait a second, there was a thorn that was given me in my flesh. And you have to say to me, Brother Derek, I'm with you on this. A lot of these things are mystery to me. Have you figured it out yet? Every now and then I'll listen to a preacher on the radio, etc. I mean, he's got it all figured out. And I'm sitting there thinking, Brother, I'm still learning. I'm trying to figure it out. I know I trust Christ 100%. But if you ever got to the place, you're like the disciples on the boat and the seas are out there, and you're saying, Lord, carest not thou that I perish? You know He's in the boat. You know you love Him and you trust Him. But you don't doubt Him. But you don't understand the experience that you are going through. And my friend, this is a fact today. Sometimes we suffer simply because we are human. Hey, if you ain't got the memo, you're human today. If not, we're going to cage you up and get rich. I don't know. We don't believe in aliens. You are human. You are susceptible to human body mentalities and different things. Our bodies change when we grow older. I went and played basketball a little bit the other night. I tell you, I wish I didn't. I finally went up there and my cousin Adam, he said, I've got a knee brace. Let me have that thing. So you got any Ben Gay while you're at it? Amen. We get older, our bodies change, and my friends, we are susceptible to normal problems of life. You have to admit to this. Even though Jesus has redeemed our spirit, and yes, there's healing, and yes, there's great provision in Calvary, our body is still frail. The same body that can bring us pleasure also brings us pain. Amen. I love eating Mexican food, but I hate heartburn. There's two sides to it. I mean, I'm afraid. I wish I could tell you that there was one. I wish I could say everything was good. I wish I could tell you there's never no bitter pills in this life. I wish I could tell you everything just went smoothly as sailed. But not only our bodies, but the same family members and friends that can delight us can also break our hearts. You ever had somebody you love dearly in your family, and they said something that just cuts you right to the core? And my friend, it's both worlds. You have to see this today. My friend, the same family, the same... Man, that's just a human comedy. It's just the way it is. Things are good, but there's also another side. Even the old Chinese saying, yin and yang. You ever heard of that before? I don't know anything about that, I'll be honest with you. But I know they believe positive and negative. Look on your car battery. It knows it too. There's good things and there's bad. There's negative and there's positive. And guess what? It brings a perfect balance. If everything went good for you all the time, I know you think better of yourself than what, you know, I know you, we all do think better of ourselves. But if everything went good all the time, most likely something somewhere you might get a little prideful or boastful. It's usually people that nothing never goes wrong. They're already in heaven, you know. They talk to Jesus and angels are flying around their home. I mean, they went fishing with Jesus every other Monday. Everything's just fine and wonderful. And nothing ever goes wrong. I heard one guy on TV, he said, when they pass by my mansion, they'll know I'm a man of God. You may live in a shack, you can still know that He's your Father. Amen. As we look at this, my friend, we must understand, sometimes we suffer simply because we are human. But sometimes we suffer because we are foolish and disobedient to the Lord. That's there too. Ask David. Ask different ones in the Bible. But this is what I want you to understand. In His grace, in God's sovereign grace, God forgives our sins, but His government, He must prevent us from reap what we sow. So there is a perfect balance in our life. There is good and there's bad. There's yin and there's yang. There's positive and there's negative. All of those things we must understand. But what I want you to understand this as well today, suffering is God's tool in your life that keeps you and moves on you and keeps you where He wants you to be. Suffering, my friend, is like a chisel in the hand of the sculptor. There's times in your life you go through something and all of it has a reason and a purpose in your life. He uses suffering to build godly character, my friend. And this is what you've got to understand. It takes both to keep you where you need to be. I read some about, I don't know too much about oceans and mountains. Here on the East Coast is sand and ocean. But on the West Coast and different places, and I don't know about too far north, I know that there's a lot more mountainous regions or mountainous environment there on the side of the oceans. And they said if you ever go inside one of the coves inside of one of those mountains, he said, I read about this, they said you find the most jagged rocks sometimes. He said if you fall on it, he said they're so sharp. He said but the rocks that are on the outside of the mountain where the water is constantly hitting against it, it says those rocks where the waves and the billows hit are well polished, my friend. It says some of the most beautiful things to look at times. I want to tell you this, my friend. If the billows of this life never raged against you, ain't gonna tell how sharp your character would be. Ain't no tell how indifferent you would be. You may never even be able to witness to somebody when they go through something. Sometimes you face things and it polishes you and it makes you something that God intends for you to be. So we've got to welcome suffering in our lives that sometimes we would understand what it is to go through what others go through. Brother Dale, you want a good example? His name is Jesus. Aren't you glad that He knows what we go through? Amen. As we look at this, my friend, let's look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. Some said it was something with his eyes. We don't know. It's only speculation. But we know this. He had one. We know there was something he called a thorn in his flesh. That word thorn there, it means when it is translated, it is the idea of a splinter or a sharp stake. Sometimes I read that it's stakes that were so sharp that they were used for torturing and impaling somebody. So it was something, my friend, as Paul describes it, it was something that really, really, really bothered him. It was something that he could not ignore. It was something that was there. It was something when he laid down, so to speak, it was there. When he woke up, it was there. It was something, my friend, that was constantly there. It was pricking him. It was reminding him. If it was a physical affliction or something else, we don't know. But we do know this. It was a thorn that was in the flesh. Do y'all know what briars are? I don't know if y'all have them around here. I see a lot of buildings. But I remember when I was younger, my dad had bought 2 acres behind the house. And he went on this Lois and Clark expedition to clean it all up. But he gave us a bush axe. And I mean, I'm like 7 or 8 years old out there, and I learned what work was. I mean, he's picking up stuff. I said, why do we have to pick? Just pick it up. Do it. Pick it up. Cutting down trees. I will never forget one day I came up on this big old pile of briars. And I'm not talking about just one or two. I'm talking about it was a bull. I mean, it was just a massive, almost field of them. And you were cutting them things. Now, if you ever had a thorn from a briar in your finger or somewhere, you can feel it. It's there. Imagine this, what Paul is trying to describe to us. It's something that he knows it is there. It's nothing that he can ignore. It's there. He knows it. It's a thorn that is in his flesh. Then he goes on to call it this, a messenger of Satan. Now think about this. Now, just as God had permitted Satan to afflict Job in the Old Testament, we have another picture here where God has allowed Paul to be afflicted by something else. Satan was permitted to buffet Paul. That word buffet there means to beat, it means to knuckle, it means to strike with a fist. So the tense of the verb indicates that the pain was either constant or reoccurring. He has a thorn in his flesh. It's a messenger of Satan. It is brought on by the enemy, and no wonder he's praying to get it removed. When something hurts you, you want it gone. Don't you? If you have something like a thorn sticking in your flesh, I doubt you're going to go to sleep and say, I'm just going to let it stay there tonight. You ever get splinters? You want it out. And so here it is, Paul is praying. Paul prayed 3 times, much like our Lord did in Mark 14 in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times, my friend. And he's saying this, Lord, I've got a thorn in my flesh. It's hurting me. You know about it, God. I mean, he's tormenting me. Lord, you know about it. Again, he prays, Lord, I've got a thorn. Can you please? I mean, sometimes we read over this and don't get the feeling of it. Paul's not just saying, Lord, take it out. He's there begging God, God, please, if you could do anything, move it. Remove this thorn out of my flesh. This thing that is bothering me, my friend. He said, this messenger of Satan, I know it's brought on by the enemy. Can you please, Lord, do something about it? And my friend, here it is. Paul is praying for deliverance from suffering. He is suffering. He's going through it. It's something that's bothering him. And he's intimately praying, God, please remove it out of my flesh. And And you may be here this morning and you prayed something like just like Paul did, and you've got to admit to it. God, I don't understand it. Remove it. God, I don't know why I feel this. Let it move. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. Can you take it away? God, I don't know why. I don't know why. Can you please, Lord, move it out of my life? Will you pray about it when you're driving down the road? You pray about it in the altars. You pray about it in your devotional time. And you're saying, God, I need you to remove it from me. And you know what bothers us sometimes? You know it's the devil. Paul knew that this was a messenger from Satan. He knew that it was brought on by the enemy. And let me follow on in the message here. There are two messages that is presented to us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There are two different messages. One message is from God and the other message is from Satan. Who are you going to listen to today? Let me ask you a question. Are you going to listen to God today? Or are you going to listen to Satan? There are two different messages here. The one message is the thorn in the flesh. It was Satan's message to Paul. But God had another message for him. It's called the message of grace. Sometimes, hear me today, my friend, and I want you just to follow me here. Sometimes the only thing that you hear in your mind is negativity, is melancholy thoughts, and is being downtrodden. I mean, it's bewildering, it's suffering, and that's all you can hear in your mind. But have you ever been to the place that you heard another message? When you heard something else, and even though the enemy, and even though your flesh is saying one thing, you have another message coming through your mind. And when Paul is saying, God, I've got a thorn, God's looking back at Paul is saying, God, Paul, I've got grace. Lord, I've got a thorn. Paul, I've got grace. Lord, I've got a thorn, but I've got grace. That's the message today, my friend. Not only is there suffering and pain, there may be a message from the enemy. There may be a thorn in your flesh. There may be an ailment in your body. There may be something you don't understand. But there's another message from heaven that says, look, that thorn's going to stay there, but my grace is going to bring you through it. You may not be able to change the circumstances. You may not be able to understand it, but guess what? I've got grace. Hear me today. God's message to you today is grace. I like it. In verse 9 it says this. And it says, and He said. He said in verse 9, He said, look, Lord, I've got a thorn. And basically, when you read it, you've got to read it in context. It is important that you read it as a tense and a tense of the verb. And it says, and He has once and for all said to me, is what He's saying. It's an ongoing thing. Aren't you glad that grace just doesn't touch you and then leave you? But grace is there on Monday. It's there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you have access to it. If you're laying in your bed, if you're laying in the hospital, if you're laying in the gutter, you can have access to grace. If you'll call on Him. See, this is the thing. We picture grace almost as something that's just there and gone. Grace is always there. It's always reaching for you. The words Paul, hear me today. I just came in my spirit and just excited me. The words Paul heard while in heaven, he was not permitted to share with us. He said, I was in the third heaven. I heard things that were unspeakable and I cannot mention them. He could not share the words that God gave him in heaven. But aren't you glad Paul shared the words he got while he was here on earth? In heaven, he said, I can't talk about it. But here on earth, he said, I'll pray and grace is for you and it's sufficient. Paul let us know what God said. That is God's message to us today. What is grace? It's God's provision for our every need when we need it. One person said like this, that God in His grace gives us what we do not deserve. Sometimes you deserve to be where you are. But God's grace says, look, I'll touch you. God's grace at times gives you what you do not deserve. And in His mercy, He does not give us what we deserve. Sometimes you deserve what you got. But God's mercy says, I'll protect you from it. That's what grace is. And my friend, not only that, He says this, it was a sufficient grace. That means it is never a shortage of it, my friend. It is always sufficient. Now, I know none of you have ever done this, but have you ever swiped a card and it said insufficient funds? I know y'all more mature than I am at 17 and 18. When I was 17 and 18, buddy, got my first card. I wish I never got it. I wanted a credit card, it was just a bank account card. And I learned something, that you swipe at an overdraft on 30 cent. I bought a Sprite and it was 30 cent over. It was a $30 Sprite when it was all said and done with. And I told him, I said, that thing was flat, man. It wasn't even worth that much. But insufficient funds, which means this, I swiped your card, the money ain't in there, son, so here it is. This is what you get. They give you a fine. There's never been a time that God, I swiped the grace card. It's always said it was there. Now, if you abuse it and walk out of Christ, it's not. But if you're in Christ, grace is available to you. Not only that, my friend, it says this, it was strengthening grace. God permits us to become so weak, my friend, that we receive His strength. He says this, my power is being made perfect in your weakness. And that's what's so beautiful about this. Now, follow me on this point right here. A lot of times when we're praying, my friends, we're praying for God to substitute, to take out our pain, and to give us goodness. But instead of substitution, God gives us transformation. Follow me here. When Paul prayed three times for the removal of his pain, he was asking God to substitute the pain for something else. Let me give you an example. God, give me health instead of sickness. Something like this, follow me. God, give me healing instead of pain. Give me comfort instead of pain. But my friend, sometimes God does not meet us by the need of substitution, but other times He meets us, my friends, by transforming us in the situation that we are in. Sometimes, you know, we are escapists by nature. That's why sometimes we preach the rapture with a escapist mentality. I can't wait to get out of here. The devil's so big, I don't know what to do. That's an escapist mentality. I want to let you know, heaven's not just an escape route. I had a guy one time I was praying with in the altar. He kept saying, I don't want to go to hell. I said, me either. I don't want to go. I said, me either. I said, do you love Jesus? I don't want to. I said, me either. I said, look at me. Do you love Jesus? That's the answer. It's not about, you ever see those easy buttons they have out nowadays? Everything's supposed to be easy. That's us in Christianity nowadays. Easy. Easy. Something goes wrong. The devil, my wash machine broke down. Flat tire. The devil, the devil, the devil. No, my friend. Just go through it and keep your head up. It's okay. That's not to diminish your suffering. But you've got to understand what it is in context. As Paul prayed about this problem, God gave him a deeper insight. And that's what God wants to do to you as well. He wants to give you a greater insight, my friend. God gave Paul a gift. Not only did God give him grace, but God gave him the thorn. Think about that. God allowed the thorn to be there. Think about that for a gift from the Lord. When's the last time you said, Lord, thank you for that thorn in my flesh? It's keeping me where I need to be. It's not natural, is it? But sometimes God allows it to be there. So the gift of the thorn and the gift of grace. I put it this way in my thoughts. The gift of the thorn and the gift of the throne of heaven. I mean, yes, you have a thorn, but thank God there's a throne. Yes, you have a thorn, but thank God there's grace and access to the one that can help you. Not only do you have a thorn, my friend, but there's a throne that you can go to and God can help you. Now follow me here. I won't be much longer. Suffering is a servant to you. Follow me. Most times we think suffering is a tyrant or a dictator in our life. We're saying, I'm suffering. And suffering, if you don't mind me putting it this way, suffering has you in chains. Suffering has your mind in captivity. And you're going through something, my friend, and it drives you into depression. Suffering drives you into anguish. It drives you into misery. It drives you into questioning God. But what Paul is letting us know here is this, that suffering is not a tyrant, but suffering is a servant and a slave to the believer. It works for you. You don't work for it. Follow me. This is biblical. Take your time and study it. It works for you in the long run. It's when God allows grace to take suffering in your life and it works it for your own good. It begins to perfect you. It begins to make you more like Jesus. It begins to radiate in you the nature of Christ. Suffering is a servant to the believer. And don't let it be a tyrant over you. As soon as you give it authority over your life, then instantly you question God and you'll fall out of love with Him. But when you look at your suffering and your pain and you said, God, give me wisdom, as we talked about in the book of James today, to deal with this. Let me tell you a story. I read about, it was a Chinese young lady that was in the underground church in China, of course. And One time she was there and the church got raided. And they said when the church got raided, they arrested everybody and they tortured, they were killing people. They took this young lady that was very involved in the church and they knew who she was. And they took her to the prison and they were trying to get her to denounce Jesus Christ. And there she was in this prison. And they said one of the torturing techniques they would use, they took her and they took the bottom of her feet and took a knife and were taking gouged the bottom of her feet open. And then they told her, they watched her, they put chains around her ankles and they made her walk the floors back and forth all night long. And they said, you're going to keep walking until you die or you denounce the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worry that God's left us when we have a headache. Hear me. She said as she was walking, she said, I got so depressed. She said, Lord, this is what I get for passing out Bibles. This is what I get. She said, I love you, Lord. I'm not doubting you, but I can't believe I'm in through this. My family, I don't know who's dead. I don't know who is alive. And she said, and she wasn't questioning or doubting God as much as she was just so worried and so hurting and the pain and the suffering. But she said she would walk back and forth the same track all night long. And she said, as she was walking, she looked down and noticed footprints of blood all throughout where she was walking. And she said, she don't know why, but just like a light bulb, it went off and said, Lord, I bet there was bloody footprints when you walked to Calvary. And she said, all of a sudden, she had a smile on her face. She said, and she had somebody visit her in prison. My friend, you have a servant called suffering, but you have a best friend named Jesus in grace. Yes, it was working in her life. She was walking. She said all of a sudden the pain wasn't as permanent anymore. Sometimes she said she was there walking. She said all of a sudden that suffering became something in her. She said, I fell in love with Jesus more in that prison cell than I ever had before, my friend. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Yes, you may suffer. Yes, you may go through something. But my friend, it's a servant that's working patience and faith and making you more like Jesus. Let it do its work at times. Think about this. What benefits did Paul receive from his suffering? Number one, he experienced the power of Christ in his life. Listen, sometimes we will never know the power of Christ if you never go through anything. Can anybody say amen to that? Sometimes you don't have a clue until you have nothing else but Jesus. Till your resources are bankrupt. My friend, Paul says this, most gladly, therefore I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God transformed Paul's weakness into strength. Notice this. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That you look that word up, rest, it means to tent over. Anybody ever been camping? That just ain't a Carolina thing, is it? It ain't my favorite thing. They got campers now. But I remember when I was younger, that camp, you set up that tent and you would go inside and there you would lay down and you would go to sleep. What Paul's saying here is this. He said this, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ would actually like be a tent over top of me. And he said, I think I'll rest right there. I'm telling you, friends, in suffering, you can know Christ more than you've ever known Him before. What did Paul say? Oh, that I may know Him. What did he say? And the power of His resurrection. What did he say after that? And the fellowship of His what? Sufferings. And being made conformable, if I'm not mistaken, unto His death or something along those lines. What he was saying is this. Fellowship and sufferings. Does that make any sense? Next time you're suffering, quit looking for the escape route. Once you sit down at the table with Jesus and say, Lord, fellowship with me. What are you trying to tell me here? God may be trying to show you something. Not only that, my friend, he said this. He said that he was able to glory in his infirmities. He was able to boast about his infirmities. Think about that. When's the last time you went through a valley and you said, I'm going to brag on this valley because I know what it's done for me? When's the last time you went through the valley of the shadow of death and you came on the other side and said, look, that was not a wonderful experience, but I will tell you this, grace is there. Grace is right there. He said, I'd rather boast, I'd rather glory about it. My friend, listen to me today. He preferred to have pain to his health. He got to a place, he said, look, I'd rather keep my thorn because without this thorn, I would have never met His grace. Oh my. You ever been introduced to somebody before by another person? And you really like the person you were introduced to. So you tell your friend to introduce you and say, thank you for introducing me to these folks. They're good people. You know, evangelizing, you kind of depend on that some. Getting to meet new people. And this is my friend. I'm your friend and all that. Sometimes it might do you good. Reach over to your thorn and shake his hand and say, look, devil and thorn, I'd have never known God's grace unless you were here. Thank you. You know what? Stay for a while. I think we're going to stay together until we go to heaven. God's allowed us to suffer because it becomes a servant to us. Number three, I won't be much longer. Take pleasure in his affirmities. Put it pretty much this. The thorn ended up being a thrill for him because it was something that was so real. One man said it like this. It is a greater thing to pray for pain's conversion than its removal. It is a great thing to pray for pain's conversion rather than its removal. As my wife goes to the piano this morning. As we look at this and as we're about to close in this area, I want you to follow me one more time. When suffering becomes your servant. There's a lady by the name of Anne, I want to say Johnson Flint. Have anybody ever heard that name before? She was a great poet. Anne Johnson Flint, she was born in New Jersey where her parents died when she was a very young girl. She was just 5 years old when both her parents died. She went into a foster home and she said this, it was the most miserable experience in her life. She went childless for years until she was adopted. And then at a very young age, my friend, she said this, that she had such a severe case of severe arthritis that they did not know how long she was going to live. And they said that she would lay there in bed. Her hands were so twisted. Her back was so twisted. And she would lay there and have to have an abundance of pillows around her just so she could even stand to live another day. This was before the day of modern medicine, and she sat there. And she would lay in that bed, and she would write some of the most beautiful pieces of poetry you've ever read. I'm going to read you one today with the Lord's help. She wrote this as she was laying in bed one day, suffering from her ailment. She said this, He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, He added His mercy. To multiply trials, He multiplies peace. He goes on to say, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed or the day is half done, when we reach of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. She goes on to say this, His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's grace. Suffering, I'm going to reintroduce you to suffering once again. Hey, Abundant Life Tabernacle, I want to introduce you to somebody that you don't really like. You don't always want to be with this person or this thing that I'm talking about. But at times it can be one of your best friends. Welcome to suffering. He's not your dictator. He's not your tyrant. He's not your owner. He's just your servant. And He's going to introduce you to grace like you've never known Him before. I just want you to follow me there. That's what it is. Stand to your feet all over the building. Appreciate you listening today.